sports. Sports, sports. Sports news. Sports stories. And if there's time, even sports opinions. It's the Sports Dump with Will and Allie.
Check, check. Well, I'm done checking. We're talking now. Oh, I finally figured it out at the end. All right, this is Joe Canale. This is a Sports Dump podcast. I'm here with Ephraim Salam, who...
no cuff button. Sports Dump Cast.
Sports Dump Cast. That's right. And Ephraim always gets a little bit of enjoyment when we start because I have yet to recreate the opening sequence of this the same way twice.
It's amazing to me to watch. It is
every time.
Unbelievably... astounding
yeah.
that every week there's like, this is the first time.
It is. And, you know, there's something great in that, but there's also something completely incompetent in that. So we'll hope that you enjoy the balance of incompetence and ingenuity. And we got a lot to talk about. You know, Ephraim, we've been doing this for a couple of months, and we generally just kind of have a little idea what we're going to talk about. And then we end up getting into something about injustice.
We riff. Or,
yes,
we
riff.
We're the rifters. Somehow,
and because this is not like a score-centric show, other things in sports catch on. And it's just become very clear to me how many ridiculous, dumb things are going on in sports that are just crazy, more than ever before. And then with the president getting involved, it adds a whole nother level of insanity and stupidity.
You're a guy.
Wait a minute. My guy. You know, he's not even good for comedy. He hasn't killed comedy. But
He is comedy.
It's just amazing. But let's talk about some sports stuff. A couple things I wanted to get out of the way was we'll do our segment that we didn't do last week because we had a great religious conversation. But we will talk about the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's hard to make the Eagles sympathetic in my mind. Being a Giants fan and just knowing Philadelphia in general as their fans and never being a fan of the Eagles at all. Over the Patriots, obviously, but like, what a crazy, like something that should be an innocuous photo appearance or not turns into the whole day of news.
It turns into breaking news.
Yes.
A CNN everywhere. Yes.
And you got called in to do CNN yesterday.
I did. I did CNN. I did Newsroom, and then I did CNN International. So if you're
out of the country,
yeah, I was.
You were?
Yeah, I was.
I love Christine Amanpour. When I lived in Amsterdam, that was like the only English speaker. She's been doing that forever.
No, we have a good rapport. We've done it several times.
You and Amanpour have a good rapport? Have you talked about her new series, Sex Around the World?
No, but I can't wait to get into that.
That was her thing. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't really know what more you can say. He cancels the whole thing, says it's a thing for America, and then doesn't know the words to God Bless America.
That doesn't shock me.
No, it doesn't shock me. The hypocrisy is ridiculous.
So I'm looking at it, and, I mean, he's lived a life of being unpatriotic,
yes.
Right? Not paying taxes.
Yes.
Dodging the draft.
Yes.
Or his call
using fixers to settle stuff.
Nothing he's done has been, in my eyes, deemed patriotic. So when I hear him rant about
draft
other
people.
Right. Five times. So when I hear about my feet hurt. Really? Okay. Yeah. I hear about him condemning people and chastising people for being unpatriotic and un-American. It's laughable.
Yes.
The problem is, there's a big portion of this country that aren't laughing, and that's the scary part.
How old is your youngest kid?
Six.
Okay. This is, I mean, you're almost disqualified.
Well, my oldest is six. My youngest is three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wheelhouse. My youngest is 4.5. She's going to be 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can see through Trump because I'm looking at that level of lying every day.
Yes.
It's not more advanced than what a toddler does.
That's exactly right. I didn't hit my brother. Yes, you did. I saw you.
Yes.
That's what it is.
It's a. That is. It's.
I didn't pay that woman. Yes, you did. Here's
right.
the receipt.
Your hands in the cookie jar.
I read the letter. Oh, I don't. I didn't read the letter yet. Like it's just constantly a lie after a lie, and
it's amazing. There's not a lot of people who can do that, where you can just do so much shit wrong that it all just gets, it all becomes the same thing. Like for most people, they're in jail by now.
Right.
He, like, there's stuff from 6 months ago that Obama, Hillary, Romney would have been impeached for at that time.
Done.
But it's just, it just keeps going. So the Eagles thing, I mean, the sports connection is, it's there because it was the Eagles, but it might as well have been the Boy Scouts or whatever.
Could have been anybody.
And he turns it around, and people don't see it for the fraud that it is, and I don't know how it could be more obvious. It can only be you're seeing what you want to see at that
exactly.
point.
Exactly. And that's the climate we live in now, because for you to come out and be a Trump supporter and say, well, he's not sexist, he's not racist, he's none of these divisive things that he's shown to be, then you don't want to know the truth.
There are 10 pieces of, and I've mentioned this about my dad and kind of wanting to be ignorant on purpose.
Yeah.
This is, to me, beyond ignorance, because you can't ignore what's right in front of
you. The economy's good, though. That's what they'll hold on to.
Yeah, and that's, yeah.
Yeah, we don't like each other as Americans, but the economy's good.
Right. Well, so, I heard somebody tell somebody I know who has more money than me that this stock market is in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Yeah, it's about to crash.
Right? So
we know.
Diversify your funds, everybody. And if you're going to buy a house, wait about another year. There'll be plenty on the market, unfortunately. Because people can get a mortgage on their freaking cell phone now.
Yeah.
That's Dan Gilbert, Rocket Mortgage. Dan Gilbert, predatory jerk. All right. So moving on to less awful things. I asked you this before, and you're right. I ruined it. I asked, do you know what an immaculate inning is?
Yes, I do.
And now you do now. And it would have been great to have you guess some things. I actually did that on the Sports Widow show last immaculate inning with my wife. Asked her what it was. And so we went through that bit. But why don't you tell the audience what an immaculate inning is?
An immaculate inning is a pitcher who comes out and throws 9 pitches and 3 strikeouts.
Yep. Strike 1, strike 2, strike 3.
That's it.
Strike 1, strike 2, strike 3. Yes. So that happened last night. Max Scherzer of the you know what else is unique about Max Scherzer? His eyes are 2 different colors. He looks like a husky. I mean, not 2 different colors like hazel.
Uh-huh.
My brown eye, I shouldn't have said it like that. I have brown eyes. And then like my mother's blue eyes, which are almost scary at this point. Uh-huh. I don't know if you lose pigment as you get older.
You lose everything when you get older.
My mother's eyes, which were a brilliant blue 30 years ago, are like the, the evil guys in Game of Thrones, the white.
Oh, the White Walkers.
Her eyes are like that now. You look at her, they're like silver. Very scary. Very scary eyes. Anyway, he's got one of each of those eyes.
Wow.
If you look at I can't believe you didn't know. You look at Max Scherzer, he's a weird-looking mofo. He's like one of my favorite baseball players.
Okay. I can see you getting giddy right now.
Cuz he pinch hit for his team the other day, got a single in the 14th and then came around.
Look at you. Sports is
This is hardcore.
This is what sports does. Sports takes grown men and turns them into kids.
And this is like at such a level of nerdiness.
But it's fine. I've seen it happen when my wife and I were dating. Everybody looks at their dad as their dad, right? Like, you know, I remember the Super Bowl was in Miami, and I invited my wife's father and his brother to go to the Super Bowl and the festivities. I gave them my tickets so they can experience it.
This is not your rookie year.
No, this is later on. This is about
year 7. Do all NFL players get tickets?
You can get tickets.
Oh,
we have the option to get tickets.
Nice.
And I remember we were in Miami. I took them to some parties. And so
Miami, that's...
I was introducing them to some of my colleagues.
Yes.
You know, Donovan McNabb, you know, all these, you know, guy Terrell Owens.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrell Davis. And he, my wife was like, oh my God, my father is a 13-year-old boy right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to be cool, but he doesn't know how to be cool. Yeah. I think one time he was like, what's up to somebody? And I'm just like, wait, what? This? And but she said it. She said, it's funny how sports and athletes take grown men and turn them back into their the kid form of themselves.
Yep. And that can, you know, did you ever see the movie The Fan?
Yes.
You did. My brother tells me I have to see that all the time because he says I have some of the elements of it, which is creepy.
Wow.
I know. That guy's very, the character's pretty creepy from what I understand.
Wesley Snipes, baby.
Oh, is he in that?
Yes, he's the baseball player.
Oh. Wait, no, I'm talking about the guy, the Giants fan. He's a football fan.
No, he's a baseball fan, the Giants baseball fan. Yes.
I'm an idiot. Well, anyway, and yes, it is nerdy. And I am of a level of sports fan. Now, first of all, I'm like a ridiculous 99th percentile sports fan. Mm-hmm. So I'll see somebody like random and be excited about it. But, and this is, we'll get back to the Immaculate Inning. I saw Frank Robinson, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. At the time, probably like fifth in home runs all time. One of the great, won the MVP in the American and National Leagues. First black manager in baseball. Mm-hmm. I saw him at Costco with his wife, and nobody recognized him. And I didn't accost him.
Sounds like you did.
Well, I did trail him for a while to make sure it was
that
him.
Makes more
so
sense.
I stalked him. But then I did come up to him, and I didn't know what to say, you know. My dad is a fan of his,
yeah,
but I knew who he was.
Do you want me to tell you what to say?
Yeah.
How you doing? I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, that's about what I did say, yeah.
That's it. Now, if they want to continue the conversation,
right. Yes,
they'll allow you in.
True.
If not, they'll be like, thank you, I appreciate that, and keep it moving.
And I've seen that a lot, you know, with athletes. Excuse me. You're fasting, and my stomach.
We can't hear that.
You can't?
No. No one's.
It shook my world.
Now we're worried about it.
That's all right. My stomach's grumbling, everybody. But I've seen it with, like I used to do shows with Tim Meadows a lot, mm-hmm. And we'd go around, and people would come up to him. And so he's used to that, and so they develop, like Jim Belushi, I know, will not let you take pictures or whatever. He has like a whole routine.
Right.
If you meet him, you get to do this, you do this, you do this, and then it's over. Probably just out of not wanting to, you just get annoyed at a certain point, I guess, if you're someone like that. But yeah, I was more struck with the fact that more people didn't recognize who it was.
Did you follow behind him like, hey, everyone.
There's a Hall of Famer here, like one of the 20 greatest players of all time and one of the maybe 15 most important people in baseball. Anyway.
I'm sure he's comfortable with that.
Yeah. He had a very attractive wife. She looked like Lena Horne.
That usually happens.
Yeah.
It comes with it.
And she was that was fun too. At that point, there's no star. She's not a star to him.
Right.
Like, she was, you know, pushing him.
She's the one who leaves the toilet seat up and won't take the trash out on time.
Yes.
In time. That, right.
I heard before I saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I don't know if it's his wife. I heard a couple fighting. I heard a woman yelling at a man at the airport in the Virgin America terminal at LAX. I'm looking at it, and I look up, and it's Kareem. And there's a woman just walking behind him, just giving it to him.
Like, she's like 4'11", too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was like yelling. Like, she, there had been some.
Yeah.
It was just very.
No matter what we accomplish, we're still.
Well, in that dynamic, there is no superstar. Yes.
At all.
You're still. And I know how it is on the opposite, because Molly's been bringing home all the bacon lately. So. It's still...
You're a kept man.
Well, it shouldn't be that way, right? If Frank Robinson can be yelled at, then so can Molly. But,
good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. So back to this is an actual sports thing. The Immaculate Inning, is these nine pitches. And it hasn't been done very much. It's been done in all of the history of baseball 90 times, I think. Yeah, 90 times in, you know, there's more no-hitters than there are immaculate innings.
Wow.
And there's only five guys. I think this is the most, there are random guys who've done it too. But there are only five guys who've done it more than once. Lefty Grove, Hall of Famer, one of the 10 greatest pitchers of all time, did it twice. Nolan Ryan.
Of course.
We know who he is. Yeah. Most no-hitters of all time. He did it twice. Sandy Koufax did it three times. And his career, he did it three times in 3 years. Once in 62, once in 63, once in 64. And his career, really, his prime was only 6 or 7 years. He's like Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one other guy who did it twice, Randy Johnson. Those four guys are in the Hall of Fame. And now Max Scherzer just did it.
Mm.
Like, you never hear about that in terms of the Hall of Fame. It's not like, and he threw two immaculate innings. But there's only five guys who've done that.
Yeah, you don't talk about it because not a lot of people have done it, and they don't want to make that a caveat to being in the Hall of Fame.
That's true. Because then you're going to have guys like, he didn't throw an immaculate inning. Right, right. And now there are, Clemens has one of these, you know, and a lot of Hall of Famers have done this. Pedro did it once. Rube Waddell. Do you know who Rube Waddell is?
No.
I don't like to plug other podcasts, but there's a very popular podcast called The Dollop, and they take little pieces of history, and then they do a story on it, and they kind of riff on that. Look it up, and look up the Rube Waddell episode.
Okay.
This guy, now at the time, it was mentally challenged, whatever the term of the day is. He would stop pitching and chase fire trucks. He would stop pitching games. He would drop the ball on the mound. He would leave the stadium and chase fire trucks.
If he heard one drive by?
He's a Hall of Fame pitcher. It's a great episode about this guy. He was probably, developmentally disabled, mm-hmm. is the term we use today.
But he had a wicked curveball.
He was a huge alcoholic, too. But he did a lot of funny stuff. So look that up after you listen to all of ours. He's another guy who did that. Dellin Betances, Yankee, who's a great fastball pitcher. Ron Guidry, all good pitchers. It's like a new stat for me that I've kind of discovered last year when it happened. And so, yeah, the nerdiness of me is excited about it. And this is where we need the alarm. We need a producer, and we need an alarm that goes off that's like, Joe, This is boring. Nobody cares about this.
You've gone too far.
I know.
Moving on.
All right. This is our segment. And maybe I'll put something in and post on this. But what I want to try to do here today is, and I don't know if you need to write it down or just say it to me, or if I need to hear it and just translate it. You're going to give me a play,
mm-hmm.
an NFL call that would come into the huddle.
Yep.
And I am going to try to decipher what that is and tell you what it is.
Okay.
Okay. So, and can you tell me what team the play is from? It's all about the same?
It's all pretty much the same.
Because you've been on, how many different head coaches have you played under?
Five.
Only five. Five mm-hmm. teams, five coaches.
Yep.
Oh, interesting. Ever play for the same coach twice at two
yep.
different places? So that coach liked you.
Gary Kubiak was my offensive coordinator in Denver. And then my head coach and Houston.
All right. So you're good for that system there with the running back.
Yep.
One cut, right?
That was my deal.
One cut. You push the line and they cut back.
Yep.
Terrell Davis. That's what put him in the Hall of Fame.
That is true.
Being able to make one cut.
One cut and go.
Yeah.
One cut and go, baby.
That's
nothing like it.
No. So you give me a play.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you what it is.
Ready?
Yep.
Two Jet Hank.
That's it. Two Jet Hank.
Well, I'll do the formation too. I write.
Yeah, give me the whole.
I write Y motion to Jet Hank.
Okay, so you're in the I formation. The tight end's on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
The Y receiver goes in motion, and then it's
whoa. Why right?
Why right? Oh, so
I said I said, I write Y Motion to Jet Hank.
Oh, okay. I write Y motion to Jet Hank. Okay, so I formation tight end on
the
right side.
Yep.
I write Y motion. So you got your Y receiver, which is a slot.
Which is the tight end.
Oh, the tight end's the Y.
Yes.
And he goes in motion.
Yes.
Over to the other side.
Yep.
To Jet. So that's a Jet sweep?
No.
What is it?
Jet is the protection.
Ah.
So as offensive lineman, that's the only, I don't care about anything else other than two jet.
So I see. So the way the play is broken down.
Everybody has their keywords.
Got it. So I write is the formation for everybody.
We know what that is. Yep.
Okay. And I got that part.
Yep. You did. Good job. Kudos.
Nebraska fan's going to get an I formation call right. And then the two jet. So that's your protection.
It's my protection.
And what does two jet mean?
Two jet means we're sliding left.
Got it.
That means the right tackle is on an island, and the slide begins at the first uncovered offensive lineman.
Okay,
right.
I understand
so
that.
If they're in an under, then the right guard would be uncovered. So he's going to turn left and help the center.
So there's diagnosis even within the play call.
And it changes depending on what the defense does because they can shift over, and now the center, they can go from an over to an under. Now the center is uncovered. Now the center is the first person
does
to turn.
Does he call out that adjustment, or does everybody know what
we
it
know
is?
It. We
know it.
We know it.
You all see and you know where it's going.
We know
but
it.
You all have to see the same thing.
We all do see the same thing. That's the only way it works.
Now you say two jet.
Two jet.
Is that different than three jet?
Yes. Three jet, we're sliding the other way.
Is there a four jet or is it just two or three?
No, it's just
so
two.
So it's an
or
even
three.
And odd.
Yep.
For the direction.
Even and odd.
And jet is the move that you do.
Jet is the protection. It's a jet protection.
Okay. And you know jet protection depending on the number.
Jet protection is we have the four down linemen and anything from the sideline in.
Okay.
Right? So if they come in a corner blitz, the safeties will shift over.
Uh-huh.
And I'd know this if they were in a two deep and that safety on the left side start rocking down, which means coming down out of coverage.
Yes.
Over the receiver.
Okay.
On the left side, then I know it's a possible corner blitz.
It's not just fucking banging heads against each other.
No. It's a lot. And the reason I was able to last so long is I was able to read the defense.
Right.
So I can inform people as a left tackle is my. It's my job to inform them if there's a blitz coming off the left
yeah,
side.
Yeah, there's a lot of recognition and diagnosis and geometry and shit like that.
If they did come off the left side with the blitz, I would call fan. Fan protection means we fan out. That means
now. Do you say that?
I say fan.
So you're on the line in the two jet, and you think the corner's going. So you say fan.
I say fan. That means I take the furthest person. I move out. The left
you
guard.
You think it's a blitz?
It is, because this is what happens. If someone, and this is, funny thing is, it took me a while to learn this my rookie year, and Art Shell, who was my tremendous coach, he was like, how do you not see this? If someone blitzes off the outside, the person that's covering you is going to go where?
In?
In.
Yeah. Because you're opening up the space to bring you out to get him in.
That's it. And
I could have been a defensive line. No, offensive line.
So you set accordingly.
Right.
Right? Ooh. You said even if you're not fanning out,
yeah.
I know where my defensive end is going now.
Yeah.
Right? So if we're in three jet and they're blitzing off the left.
So the guard has to pick up the end now.
The run. Well, yeah, if we're in two jet. If we're turning into the slide, then the guard takes the DN, I take the corner or the linebacker.
What if you're going the other way?
Then the running back is responsible.
I see, because everyone's going, he's got to pick up the guy.
The running back goes opposite of the jet.
Holy shit.
Hank is the route the receiver runs.
We didn't even get to the last part.
And a five-step drop.
And where was that indicated?
Hank.
Oh.
Hank is a five-step drop route, so
got
it's built
it.
In.
So they hear Hank, and the wide receiver knows what his Hank is.
Right, and I know that where the quarterback is going to be.
Wow.
Because it's a five-step drop.
I thought that this was going to be you saying three or four plays and me and getting them right or wrong. We did one play, and just the explanation of that one play is crazy. How do these guys in college have time for classes?
I know, right? Yeah.
That's the way we'll leave on that. Because I got places to go and really no one to see. But this was another episode of the Sports Dump Cast. We're doing the Sports Dump. Your daily Sports Dump every morning is available on Facebook. That's our jokes of the day. And we have a show coming on June 20th in Los Angeles. There'll be more information on that. But I believe we are going to have a special SNL-related guest. So that could be someone you know real well or someone you've never heard of. You know, it's a big it's a big company. But, yeah, that's it. Thank you, Ephraim, and we'll catch you next week.